Task 13. You are going to listen to an interview about a movement in the United States. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below, then you will hear the recording twice. While listening, match the beginnings of the sentences 1 to 8 with the sentence endings A to K. There are two sentence endings that you should not use. Write your answers in the spaces provided. The first one, 0, has been done for you. After the second listening, you will have 45 seconds to check your answers. When George Floyd died in Minneapolis this week, the footage of his head on the street under a police officer's knee reignited the national conversation about police violence against African Americans, and it sent people to the streets raging in protest throughout the country. Kianga Taylor has been writing about this. She's a professor of African American studies at Princeton. We spoke this morning, and I asked her to reflect on this very long week, the anger overnight in Minneapolis and beyond, and how to make sense of where the country is today.
You know, when the governor, I think, of Minnesota said something to the effect overnight that we have to rebuild the relationship between the police and the communities that they function in, that is such a repeated and mistaken idea. In fact, there is not a single period in American history when African American people have been free that the police have not been a source of abuse and violence. There is no golden age of policing in the United States that we can point to. I think that where there have been the kind of verbal commitments to reform, it's come about because of incessant protests led by young African Americans. But the quality of the reform has been quite cheap. At the time that there were promises of reforms being made, it was in the twilight of the Obama administration as an effort to try to ensure that African Americans would turn out in the 2016 election. And that did not happen at the rate at which it did when Obama was running. And so, the quote-unquote reform efforts then became the project of Donald Trump, who, of course, had no interest in reforming the police. And, you know, in fact, overnight, I think at 12:53 a.m., tweeted out that the police or the military should be poised to shoot to kill protesters.
The tweet from the president you're referring to, the 12:43 a.m. tweet, just to quote that direct line, he wrote, "Any difficulty and we will assume control. But when the looting starts, the shooting starts." I will note that Twitter has flagged that as violating Twitter rules about glorifying violence. And I can hear the anger in your voice.
And of course, this is a president who praised neo-Nazis and Confederate sympathizers in Charlottesville for being good people. And so the hypocrisy is also part of what drives the frustration.
So what would your answer be to people who might say, look, Americans have the right to protest in the streets, but Americans do not have the right to ransack a police station and set the streets of a city on fire?
I believe that rebellions and uprisings are not demonstrations. This is a visceral expression of rage and frustration, and what we have to do is understand why it's happening and do something about the conditions that led to its eruption, because it's too late to say, oh, is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? But it is noteworthy that when you look at the crowds of people, that there are lots of young white people who are at these demonstrations. And I think that not only does it speak to a level of solidarity that young white people have with poor and working class black people, but I think it says something about their own lack of security in their future. And really, what is happening in this country because of the ways that the pandemic has exposed deep, deep and ingrained inequities.
When George Floyd died in Minneapolis this week, the footage of his head on the street under a police officer's knee reignited the national conversation about police violence against African Americans, and it sent people to the streets raging in protest throughout the country. Kianga Taylor has been writing about this. She's a professor of African American studies at Princeton. We spoke this morning, and I asked her to reflect on this very long week, the anger overnight in Minneapolis and beyond, and how to make sense of where the country is today.
You know, when the governor, I think, of Minnesota said something to the effect overnight that we have to rebuild the relationship between the police and the communities that they function in, that is such a repeated and mistaken idea. In fact, there is not a single period in American history when African American people have been free that the police have not been a source of abuse and violence. There is no golden age of policing in the United States that we can point to. I think that where there have been the kind of verbal commitments to reform, it's come about because of incessant protests led by young African Americans. But the quality of the reform has been quite cheap. At the time that there were promises of reforms being made, it was in the twilight of the Obama administration as an effort to try to ensure that African Americans would turn out in the 2016 election. And that did not happen at the rate at which it did when Obama was running. And so, the quote-unquote reform efforts then became the project of Donald Trump, who, of course, had no interest in reforming the police. And, you know, in fact, overnight, I think at 12:53 a.m., tweeted out that the police or the military should be poised to shoot to kill protesters.
The tweet from the president you're referring to, the 12:43 a.m. tweet, just to quote that direct line, he wrote, "Any difficulty and we will assume control. But when the looting starts, the shooting starts." I will note that Twitter has flagged that as violating Twitter rules about glorifying violence. And I can hear the anger in your voice.
And of course, this is a president who praised neo-Nazis and Confederate sympathizers in Charlottesville for being good people. And so the hypocrisy is also part of what drives the frustration.
So what would your answer be to people who might say, look, Americans have the right to protest in the streets, but Americans do not have the right to ransack a police station and set the streets of a city on fire?
I believe that rebellions and uprisings are not demonstrations. This is a visceral expression of rage and frustration, and what we have to do is understand why it's happening and do something about the conditions that led to its eruption, because it's too late to say, oh, is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? But it is noteworthy that when you look at the crowds of people, that there are lots of young white people who are at these demonstrations. And I think that not only does it speak to a level of solidarity that young white people have with poor and working class black people, but I think it says something about their own lack of security in their future. And really, what is happening in this country because of the ways that the pandemic has exposed deep, deep and ingrained inequities.